World leaders and tech bosses have put on a touchy-feely show of solidarity. Well, most of them. Here in Delhi, where the AI hype machine is in overdrive. Inside the huge exhibition halls are dazzling displays of slick new AI products, along with grand promises about how they're going to make the world a better place for everyone. Those tech bros and world leaders have also pledged to collaborate on the best way to harness AI as it evolves.
You are listening to The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards.
Hello, this is Matthew Childs, and welcome to The Standard Show. Now, the voice you heard at the top of the episode was that of BBC's Zoe Kleinen, speaking at and about the AI Impact Summit, taking place in New Delhi, India, which is the backdrop for this episode. AI is transforming business and society, moving fast from early experiments to mainstream use. By 2025, 78% of companies were using AI in at least one business area, up from 55% in 2023. And generative AI adoption has more than doubled. One in six people worldwide now use AI regularly, including 100 million weekly ChatGPT users in India alone. This rapid growth has driven huge demand for computing, new AI models, infrastructure, and startup investment. And at the same time, concerns about bias, privacy, safety, misinformation, and workforce impact are pushing governments around the world to introduce new AI rules that aim to balance innovation with risk. Global AI summits have tracked this evolution, starting with the 2023 AI Safety Summit at Bletchley Park. Later summits in Seoul, Paris, and now New Delhi in 2026, the first in the Global South, have broadened the focus to include innovation, inclusion, practical governance, and importantly, global collaboration. For this episode, I spoke to BSI colleague Tim McGarr about the India AI Impact Summit, what it revealed about the forces driving global AI adoption, and why the conversations around trust, governance, and real-world use of AI felt particularly important right now. We also discussed how organizations can demonstrate responsible AI through emerging standards and frameworks, particularly ISO IEC 42001, and what they should be doing today to prepare for evolving regulation. Now, before we get down to it, here's Cindy Parakil with a quick reminder.
Hey, just a quick reminder to follow, rate, and review the podcast wherever you listen. Want to get in touch or find us on socials? All the links you need are in the show notes.
BSI helps organizations use AI safely, ethically, and responsibly. With over 125 years of experience in standards and regulation, we support the full AI lifecycle, including certification to ISO IEC 42001, the Global Management System Standard for AI Governance. Tim McGarr is AI Market Development Lead at BSI. He works on the development of AI products and services, including assurance and certification, and closely tracks emerging AI policy and regulation. Now, this episode is in two parts. Part one looks at Tim's visits to the AI Impact Summit in India, the atmosphere, the key discussions, and what stood out around trust, governance, and real-world AI use. Part two explores how organizations can demonstrate responsible AI through standards, and the trends Tim is seeing as organizations prepare for new regulation. But I started by asking Tim about the big picture. Okay, Tim, I want to start with then with the big picture here. You know, what's really driving AI adoption right now? You know, is it productivity, you know, competition, cost, or is there something else going on here?
I think there are kind of two sides to it. In terms of competition, it's a real driver. What we're seeing is that organizations are putting AI in place and really seeing efficiencies around it. So the sort of trust in AI survey that BSI did last year revealed that, you know, 65% of business leaders see tangible benefits from AI, and both that's in terms of building out new business and also cutting costs, frankly. But the other thing that's kind of happening on the other side of it is there's a huge unprecedented investment in AI as a technology, which means that there are massive leaps in what's available. You know, literally, it's faster than anything I've ever seen. So what organizations can use that for is growing hugely as well. So they are, the opportunities just keep growing with the technology.
And how about regulations and policies, Tim? How are they changing the way that organizations think about building or using AI?
So the first comprehensive piece of regulation around AI was the EU AI Act, which came into force effectively 2 years ago now, and that kind of set some of the direction around regulation. And what we've seen around the world is this balance between the governments taking between trying to let innovation flourish, trying to make sure their economy grows on the back of AI, versus making sure the right guardrails are there. And that tension has been in place for 5 or 6 years now. And what we're seeing is that there is a general trend towards more regulation around AI. So it's going at different paces and back and forth. But overall, the trend is towards more regulation, but also the governments are keen to ensure that the investment in AI as the industry of the future goes into their country as well. So there's that continual tension that happens within government level.
Obviously, regulations and policies are important here, Tim. You talked there about the EU AI Act, and obviously we've got some large players here. We've got the United States, we've got China, we've got Europe, and obviously then individual countries too, and India too as well in that sort of mix. I just wonder how is that all working?
So I think the general trend is towards regulation, but it's very different in those different places. So for example, China has been regulated for quite a long time, but it's generally focused around cybersecurity and AI. In the US, most of the sort of regulation is happening much more at state level. And various states like Texas or Colorado or New York are doing some quite interesting things. But also, it's really different in terms of different countries. So, for example, in the UK, it's much more focused towards the existing regulators. But there are countries like Korea or Vietnam that have regulations coming through that's pretty similar to what the EU has done, but with their own sort of local approach.
Now, Tim, you were recently at the AI Impact Summit in India. Now, I want to talk to you about the discussions, but before we get to that, paint a picture for us. Who was there? What was the atmosphere like? And why did this particular summit feel important in the global AI conversation?
So in terms of the summit itself, it sort of evolved over four summits now, between from Bletchley Park to Paris to Korea. And really moved from sort of focus primarily around sort of AI safety and security to something much more about sort of growth as well. So the AI security and safety conversation is still there, but a lot more about how do we grow this out further. In terms of who was at the summit, it was a real mix. So there were many government leaders, there were lots of global tech firms, a huge presence of the sort of Indian ecosystem around AI. But also startups, academics, and obviously sort of standards bodies and certification bodies. But I think the real thing that India did that was different was trying to open it up to the public itself and trying to have as many people come along, see what's happening on AI and get enthusiastic about it. So I've seen various figures about how many people were there, but there were at least 100,000. I saw one figure that said there were up to 500,000 people there, and it really felt like there were 500,000 people there every day. It was completely packed. At the summit, there was also lots of enthusiasm from the attendees about AI and AI adoption, and that's also reflected in the Trust in AI survey we did last year, where 87% of Indian organizations were very enthusiastic about AI and investment around it, which is much higher than any other country by quite a long way.
And I'm thinking, Tim, also, it sounds like a type of event you've never really been to before.
No, I have never been to anything of that scale. And just, it's very hard to articulate quite the ambition that the Indian government obviously had around the event and how they wanted to really showcase you know, the Indian approach and what they had to offer to the rest of the world, and also build that enthusiasm in the local population.
Now, you talked there about sort of energy and ambition. I want to really explore now, you know, what really stood out for you in the discussions. Were there any particular themes or maybe tensions or moments that felt especially telling? And what do they suggest about maybe where AI is heading globally, particularly around trust, you know, governance and real world use of AI?
I think there are a few things that stood out. I think as things have gone on between the different summits, there's been much more of a focus that started off around how do we ensure that AI is safe and secure, to how do we build out the investment whilst also thinking about that. And, you know, the conversation was much more about the investment side rather than the safety and security. And I think that's kind of where we are in the world around AI, the need to sort of grow it further. I was very pleasantly surprised by how much standards and certification were of interest and how much it came up in topics of conversation, even when people didn't know that I was from BSI. But particularly, you know, the fact that the international standards are in place, the fact there's a increasing interest in 42001 certification. And these are really things that people were thinking about in terms of sort of AI governance. I mean, it's also the fact that, you know, India wanted to demonstrate the value of AI to what they're calling the global south. And obviously the other conferences were in the UK, France and Korea, and they're trying to shift the conversation to a wider set of actors. And I think they really succeeded in that as well, in what they're doing. And obviously, you know, AI is something that all countries seemingly want to take a leadership on. And that I think India was trying to sort of make sure that actually happened rather than some of the sort of the current sort of key players around AI.
Now, obviously, Tim, you were there, you were at the event there, you know, representing BSI. I just wonder, you know, what experience that was like and what sort of conversations did that lead to?
Yeah, as part of my sort of role there, I was on three different panels over the week. And each of those panels, I think in all the panels that took place over the week, the room was completely full and literally every piece of standing place was taken and people couldn't get in the door because the rooms were so full. And that really shows this sort of enthusiasm that took place. And after every single panel, it took a long time to get away because there were so many people who wanted to talk to us, understand what was going on, understand how they could get involved and understand how they could work with us. It was absolutely amazing the amount of enthusiasm that people had all over the event itself.
Standards affect all of us, every day, everywhere. By defining good practice, they help people and organizations do things better. Each year, standards bodies publish thousands of standards, and we're always looking for more people like you to join our growing community of standards makers. We welcome applicants from all backgrounds, areas of expertise, and career stages. Our goal is simple, to bring a balance of perspectives to the table. As a standards maker, you can help improve how things are made and done, whether it's building more inclusive workplaces, improving healthcare, advancing AI governance, accelerating climate action, and much more. If you want to make a difference and help shape the world through standards, start your standards making journey today. Details on how to get involved are in the show notes.
Okay, Tim, I want to move us on now to sort of looking at issues of trust and standards and sort of organizational readiness. So when organizations want to show they are using AI responsibly, you know, where can they turn? What sort of standards and frameworks or assurance mechanisms are available to help demonstrate that the AI systems they are developing and adopting, that they're safe, responsible, and ultimately trustworthy?
So, and thankfully, the AI standard system through ISO IEC has been going for over a decade. And undoubtedly, the most widely used standard in the world is ISO IEC 42001, the AI management system standard. And this is like the other management system standards. So it's a tool that organizations can use to ensure good AI governance and demonstrate it externally via certification. That the So ISO IEC 42001 came out at the end of 2023, and it's just, we've seen just massive growth and interest around it around the world. I mean, literally, there are 20 plus countries who've had conversations in around it, and really, there's a continual desire to have this in place. The other thing that we are seeing is the real drive to sort of use ISO IEC 42001 is the desire to demonstrate good AI governance, whether that's to your customers or your peers in the market. So it's much, it's not linked to particularly to regulation. It's much more linked to the desire of the market to show that they are doing the right thing.
So Tim, you mentioned 42001 there, obviously a global sort of flagship standard, a very important one in the development of AI governance. Just drill down a bit for me, you know, how are organizations actually using this particular standard in practice?
Well, the standard itself has been out for just over 2 years. So as is quite common with management system standards, first what happens is organizations take the standard, they start working with it. They learn about it, they embed it and see the value that comes through from ensuring, you know, good AI governance and demonstrating that externally. And then some of those will choose to sort of move forward to go for external certification if they want to show it to a wider market that they are, they have that in place. But I think really sort of the point where a lot of organizations have it embedded, they understand it and they're pushing out as well. So in terms of this uptake of 42001, what we're really seeing is it's quite interesting compared to other management system standards. Firstly, it's been picked up particularly in the markets that are most investing in AI. So unsurprisingly, that includes the US, although the US is much less well known for sort of following certification. And it's also been heavily picked up in some of the key sectors that are using AI or want to be able to demonstrate it. So the technology sector itself, financial services, and also professional services. And it's really those organizations rather than some of the more traditional standards and certification users.
And Tim, how about 42001, you know, working with something like the EU AI Act?
So I mean, the EU AI Act takes quite an interesting approach. So there is a need for a quality management system, but that's probably more likely to be linked to a particular harmonized standard. So it particularly around conformity assessment, the EU AI Act impacts a few different sectors. So firstly, what's called around Annex 3, which is a series of new sectors that aren't particularly regulated in this way. So areas like critical infrastructure and education and biometrics. And most of those require a self-assessment, with the one exception of biometrics, which will require conformity assessment if there aren't harmonized standards. The other area of conformity assessment is around Annex 1A. And this is a series of areas where there is already existing product regulations, such as medical devices and personal protective equipment. And there it fits within the existing way that they are assessed, although there'll be elements specifically to AI, including around quality management systems and technical documentation.
Now, Tim, we talked about organizations there. Just looking at you know, in the conversations you have with organizations on the ground, you know, what major trends are you seeing among those developing or embedding AI?
And the one thing we're really seeing, in particularly around ISO IEC 42001, is the desire of organizations to demonstrate that they are a leader in good AI governance. There's a particular interest in showing that they are the first organization to be certified in a particular sector or country and showing that they have that leadership. We're also seeing that as more and more organizations are using ISO IEC 42001, they're also pushing it down into their supply chain, including some of the supply chains of the biggest technology firms in the world, which is then dripping it down further through the entire of the supply chain, increasing the uptake of 42001.
And Tim, as you've described, you know, this sort of technological changes don't exist in isolation. Here we have the sort of regulatory framework. So how should organizations be preparing now for this evolving, you know, these evolving regulatory expectations?
I think there's two sides to that. I mean, coming back to 42001, whilst it's not specifically written around any particular regulation. It puts an organization in a good position in terms of good AI governance. I would also recommend that organizations follow that and other good governance standards as well, and keep a close track on the regulation that's emerging in the markets they exist in, whether that be the EU or elsewhere, because there are tens and tens of pieces of AI regulation that are coming through at the moment, which may impact organizations. And just to reiterate that, I think when I'm speaking to organizations, there does seem to be a mix of understanding around AI regulation. So some firms who are more from a regulated perspective have a very good understanding about what, for example, the EU AI Act is and what they need to do. And there are other firms who are seemingly unaware of what is required of them and make the assumption that as they're following, for example, general data protection regulation, that they will be covered by the requirements of the EU AI Act, and that really isn't the case. They need to go in and work with the regulation and really understand what will be required of them.
So just thinking, Tim, as a sort of a final thought, really, from an organisational perspective, what is the most important consideration right now?
I think the most important thing that organisations can do is just prepare themselves for what's coming around AI governance and also regulation. So particularly looking to ISO IEC 42001 as the main AI governance standard globally, and looking to potentially the EU AI Act as the gold standard for what will come around AI regulation in the world, and working towards both of those frameworks.
Now, I couldn't let Tim go without asking him about his standards journey, something regular listeners know we love to explore. So I asked him to do just that. How and when did his standards journey start? And where is he now?
I think it's like a lot of people, it's pretty accidental. So I was working in another organization before BSI dealing with risk management. And I moved into a role in the national standards body, building out the standardization around risk management and business continuity. And that then led into another role, sort of building out areas of tech standards. So I've been involved right from the very beginning around standards for Internet of Things and virtual reality and blockchain and cybersecurity and AI. And then from that experience in AI, moving over to the other side of BSI, sort of dealing with the certification and testing against the same standards. Yeah, it's been well over 16 years, my standards journey so far.
And long may it continue, Tim.
Yes, definitely.
My thanks to BSI colleague Tim Magar for speaking to me about the India AI Impact Summit 2026, the key drivers of global AI adoption, and how organisations can use standards like ISO IEC 42001 to ensure responsible, trustworthy AI. Now, to find out more about the themes raised in this episode and about how to start your own standards journey and get involved in standards, then follow the links in the show notes. And the show notes are also where you can find details of our socials and all the other ways to get in touch with us here on The Standard Show.
You have been listening to an episode of The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.